This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting!
With Dan the Mo Flabransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
Well, welcome, 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 everybody. It is the Extreme Rules After Party, and wow, what a show it was. It had its ups, it had its downs, and it had people falling down at the end of it.
Yeah, what a strange finish.
What is going on?
Yeah, Mouth. That was weird.
Of course, Lavransky is at his place. I'm at my place. Welcome to it, everybody. But I mean, we got to start there, Mouth. It's rare in wrestling that I have a belly laugh watching a finish. Do you think this was inspired by Arn Anderson?
Oh, geez, I hope not. I hope it wasn't as petty as that. It was crazy. It was a weird show. I mean, we talked about it this afternoon, and the real star of the show was the crowd. Like, this crowd was insane for this show.
They were into it. There was a lot of stuff that they were into, but rightfully so. I will say, I mean, you and I had a very negative conversation this afternoon looking into this, because this pay-per-view really didn't have a great build to it. And we said, I think, to end off, you know, it's going to take a lot to make this go, but you're right, Mo, the crowd was into it. And actually at parts, you know what? Way better than expected.
Yes, absolutely. There were several things in this that were much better than to be expected. And honestly, having a hot crowd always helps so much, like it. And it really did help this show. And they were clearly behind certain people. Like, I found it fascinating to see what the crowd was behind, because it's not always what they want them to be, to get behind. So it was really neat to see such a hot crowd here in Ohio. They were crazy.
Well, let's get into it then. Of course, the way our after parties work, and welcome to everyone that is attending live. I'm not surprised. There's actually a lower number of people in the after party than normal, because I got a feeling people didn't even realize that this pay-per-view was happening tonight. And even if they did, why would they be interested, Mouth? Because we were not.
No, that's the thing. Going into it, if you watched Raw and SmackDown this week, they did a lot. They did very little to build up these matches. As we talked about this afternoon, they didn't even have the whole card together. There was only six matches. We knew there was going to be some. And so they just created one on the pre-show there. But
that was probably the longest. Not on the pre-show. That one we knew about. We knew about Liv and Carmella on the pre-show. It was on the actual pay-per-view where that six-man tag happened that wasn't listed. We didn't talk about it this afternoon because it wasn't listed. Got a half an hour.
I meant they set it up on the pre-show.
Oh, I'm sorry. They set it up in the pre-show. I got
the angle on the pre-show, right?
Yeah.
So very, very interesting. And it was crazy.
So let's get into it here. We'll talk Extreme Rules. And of course, all of you that are in the chat, you have the ability to raise your hand. Mark Andrada will bring you on up. The way this works is you don't have to use your video if you don't want to. For the most part, the majority of people listening to this will be listening via the podcast anyhow. But you guys who are here, you patrons, get the opportunity to interact. So instead of doing phones, we use Zoom. So with that in mind, let's get into it. So the pre-show is what we just talked about, and how Mouth mentioned that they set up this six-man tag match, and AJ and Omos were doing an interview backstage, and I love this. They're upset because they're not on the show, Mouth, but AJ's standing there in his full-on gear.
Yes, exactly. Well, it was hilarious that the New Day came in and yelled at them for not being on the show, when in fact they were not on the show either.
This made very little sense, but it served to set up the match. As the New Day is taunting them, Lashley comes out, attacks Big E out of nowhere, and that basically set up your match for the six-man tag. Along with that, you know, we had a vignette on the pre-show here of Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins coming into the building, and I really liked parts of this. Montez is serious. He's pissed off about what happened on Friday. He got attacked. Dawkins wasn't there. Dawkins is pissed as well that everybody beat up Montez. They want the titles tonight. And then here's the thing. The mood that they showed me here, I just knew. I just knew, because it was WWE, that they would come to the ring and be dancing their way on down. And it made no sense to do that, because I like this. I thought,
me too,
this is the mood they should have taken to the ring.
I agree with you. It was great to see them be super serious and take the match very seriously. But yeah, of course, you know, you're exactly right. They came out dancing with the cups and everything. And it's kind of like, oh, I guess they cooled down in the last half hour or whatever.
I will actually give kudos to Peter Rosenberg, believe it or not, who said after this vignette, here's the thing, like, will they have this same demeanor going into the match? That is what is key tonight. And they did not. So of all people, the voice of reason was Peter Rosenberg, believe it or not.
Wow. Wow. Liv Morgan, I did not catch that, which shows you how much I pay attention to what he says.
Liv Morgan versus Carmella. This match had no business being anywhere near a pay-per-view or a pre-show. Liv wins, and I wrote, who cares?
Yeah, but you know, but you can't blow it off that quickly. The crowd was totally into this match. They were yelling for Morgan the whole time. They were chanting all through it. Like, I mean, sure, it was not a big storyline, and it was totally just thrown out here. But I was blown away right away how the crowd was into this match of all matches. And I'm like, wow, if they're into this, this crowd's going to be hot for the rest of the show. And they were.
Sarah is with Paul Heyman. Sarah asks if Roman has overlooked the demon. Paul cuts a fun, sarcastic promo on her.
Yeah,
I like this. I really like Paul Heyman has got a real thing going on with Kayla.
Yeah,
it's really great, and he transferred it over here with Sarah. I mean, the majority of things that Paul Heyman does are very good, and he's actually helping these backstage reporters by treating them this way.
Yeah, exactly. They can learn how to deal with someone like him. And yeah, like you said, it adds a shine to them when they get this repartee. Yeah.
Now, the key here is that Heyman ends this saying Roman will be the champion at the end of the night. That's not a prediction. That's a spoiler. And when he says that, seems to be the way that it rolls.
It does, yes.
The pay-per-view is next. The New Day comes to the ring. This was announced on the pre-show. We get the six-man tag match, New Day versus AJ Omos and Lashley. The announcers spend so much time out talking about the fact that the draft is coming up. This may be the last time for the New Day, blah, 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 blah. It's like this pay-per-view at this point was serving as a preview and promo for the draft starting on Friday.
Oh, no. And not only that, this whole match ends up just being a promo for a big match that's going to take place on Monday. This was totally ass backwards in that a match on the pay-per-view was setting up a bigger match on the television. I thought you should have had this six-man tag on the Raw leading into this, and then you set up the match.
Yeah.
The
thing is, it doesn't matter who. It's funny. It doesn't matter who's watching this, and they're worried about TV ratings with AEW creeping up. So they're definitely hotshotting things on TV. I mean, that's why Big E's holding on to that title right now, because they hotshotted that Money in the Bank to try to drive ratings and keep ratings up on Raw. So yeah, they're using this to set up people to watch Raw. But let's be honest here, like, who that is watching this pay per view on the WWE Network is not watching Raw?
Well, that's zero. It, exactly.
Zero.
Yeah, yeah.
These are your hardcores that you're talking to right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it was totally, totally backwards here. But again, the match itself was pretty good, and the crowd was into it. The crowd loved the New Day. Like, if they split up the New Day like they're teasing with the draft, the people in Ohio are not going to like it. They were all over the New Day in this match. They were totally behind them in this.
So after Lashley accidentally spears AJ, Big E hits the big ending on Lashley, and that serves to set up what's going on tomorrow night. But you also got to figure, though, Lashley accidentally spearing AJ, to me, feels like they're opening with that tomorrow. AJ interferes in the match because of what happened here, and tomorrow night's Raw ends in a three-way.
You know what? Yes, that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, because really AJ and Omos had nothing to do with this match. So they've got to get something out of this. Like they almost seem to be a second thought in this match. They really weren't the focus during the match at all. I mean, they only got to go in there a very little. It was mostly the New Day and Lashley throughout the whole thing. So I could see them sticking him in there at the end of that. That's the typical Raw kind of thinking, right?
Well, you have to figure that this isn't AEW opening with Danielson and Omega and playing out the angle. This is something to be done at the beginning of the night to set up something at the end of the night.
Yeah. It's weird. Very, very weird. They love that style.
The SmackDown Tag Team match is second on the night. The Street Profits are your challengers versus the Usos. Usos, of course, the champion. Cole starts this by saying, Montez Ford is all smiles tonight, but he has to be bothered by what happened at the hands of Roman Reigns on SmackDown because, yes, Montez Ford does come out. He's singing, he's dancing, the red cups are flying. I feel like everything that WWE does when they do things like this, when all their performers are happy, it feels like a house show. You know what I mean? Like, they come out and it's like the storylines don't matter because we're doing our entrance now and that's what people have come here for.
Well, that's it. And they're starting to see pay-per-views, I believe, to a certain extent, the way they see house shows as separate one-off shows. Like, they're not really even part sometimes of an ongoing thing. It's just the show. It's part of the show. This match on faces. Yeah. I liked the match itself. I thought the Usos always have good matches, right? And working with the Street Profits here, I thought the match was really well done. And again, the crowd was into this, man. They were chanting, "We want the smoke." They were chanting for tables. They were biting. Some of those false finishes near the end where the Street Profits looked like they were going to win, the crowd was totally biting on those. Like, if the Street Profits had won here, the crowd would have probably went ballistic. But the finish, the Usos did the double Uso splash on Montez Ford, and they pinned him to get the win. I mean, I think everybody expected the Usos to stay champions here.
Well, here's my thing in this match. So Montez comes out with his ribs wrapped, and this is an injury that he suffered on Friday, right? So he's supposed to be hurt. He did sell it through the match, but what I didn't understand is he continually went for the frog splash and continually did things that were going to hurt him in the ribs. Why do that if you're injured with that?
Because that's how WWE books their baby faces, to look like dumb idiots.
Ford had a great spot, though, mouth here. The crazy swanton dive from inside the ring to the outside the ring over the turnbuckle corner and onto the Usos on the outside. I thought that that was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. No, like overall, the match itself, I thought, was good. A really good match. The two teams worked together really well, and the crowd went crazy. They loved it.
Yep, it was good. Better than expected, which is, I think you're going to be hearing that quite a bit tonight. They go to Bobby Lashley in the back. He calls Big E a chicken shit. Says the big old S word on the pay-per-view.
Again, that's a reaction to AEW for sure.
I would think so.
Yeah.
He's a coward. He dares Big E to face him tomorrow night. So we wait on that. The Raw Women's title match is next. Your third match of the pay-per-view. Charlotte is your champion going on versus Alexa Bliss. Alexa comes in, and this is just a TV thing. Now, apparently, they cut to commercial when Alexa did this. Shockingly, there was a commercial if you were watching in the States. But did you notice, because we were watching up here and we still get it on cable, when Alexa does her big move, when she pulls off her skirt, they cropped her from the waist up. And I'm not saying this. Yeah, I'm not saying like this as.
Now there's a dated.
What a dated reference from. There we go.
1956. There you go.
But my point is, and I'm not even saying this because, oh, it's a woman, blah, blah, blah. When Piper pulled off his kilt.
Right.
They keep the full frame so he can twirl his kilt.
Right.
This is Alexis. Like, why Kevin Dunn was cropped in here, I don't know, unless they didn't care because they went to commercial in the U.S. on the Peacock streaming service, but we were still watching it up here. But I also thought it was weird that they're getting commercials on Peacock when we're getting the full feed. It's like we're watching on Fight versus TBS or something like that with the AEW thing. Much like the promo on Monday, I was pleasantly surprised in this mouth match. For the most part in the match, until we got to the very end, they dropped the supernatural garbage.
Yeah.
And I thought these two were great tonight.
Yeah, it worked out pretty. I mean, I noticed every once in a while, just because Charlotte is so tall and Alexa is so small, that every once in a while things would get kind of messed up. But overall, it was a great match, and the two worked really hard. And again, the crowd was into it. They loved Alexa. They were booing Flair. But yeah, and then of course, because I'm with you, I really wanted, after that promo we saw this week, that maybe Alexa was going to drop this stuff altogether and just become the hard ass. But yes, at the end, we had the stuff with the doll, and Charlotte tears up another doll this time around.
Well, this time she's actually tearing up Lily. So there's a few things in the match, though. There was, I think they actually went out of their way to hit that sunset bomb, because I pointed out on Raw a couple weeks ago that they did it very slowly, and it wasn't great. And I thought the sunset bomb that was done in this was super crisp.
Yes, it was
very, very crisp. And that is, majority of that is actually Charlotte, Alexa doing the flip, but Charlotte spinning herself over. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. Again, at the end here, I thought that the finish was great, and they did then play up ripping Lily apart at the end of it and in the post-match. I even liked the part where Lily was torn apart and Charlotte had the title in one hand and Lily's
the doll in the other,
deceased doll. I don't know if that's a thing, but like the body that's been torn apart in the other, and like just the fabric. I thought it was super heel. I thought it was great. I even loved Alexa afterwards climbing into the ring, attacking Charlotte, and then trying to pick up all the pieces of Lily. And I don't know if you noticed, but they definitely gave Alexa an Alka-Seltzer to put into her mouth.
Yeah, she was
to try to make her foam at the mouth. I don't think she had enough saliva in her mouth, because you could see the Alka-Seltzer still in there, right?
Oh, wow. I did not notice that.
You definitely could.
I don't know if I liked it as much as you. I thought it went on a little bit too long. I liked it when she was putting the stuffing back in and that, and I thought that was good. But having that whole long thing of her screaming and then going up the ramp and then sitting at the top of the ramp and then screaming some more, I just thought it was a little bit longer than it needed to be. I that's all.
I think Alexa's great. I think if anyone can pull this off, it's Alexa, and no one else even comes close to what she can do as far as like the acting type of deal goes. So we'll see where this goes. It's clearly not finished. The question is, I mean, are they going to double down now? This is, of course, Andrade wants this to go full on. He wants an actual woman to now start playing Lily. And we have a poll that is up here because Mark is doing this, of course, in charge of all the polls. What's happening with Lily? Yep. You can vote A, she's done, or B, are they doubling down on her? So answer the poll. Do it right now. Mark will not allow us to vote. It's completely your vote. So hit it right now, and we will get these results. Of course, Mark's vote will be doubling down. I'm probably in the middle, and Mouth is probably saying, she's done. Let's get rid of
bed. Yeah, let's put it to bed.
Do we have the results there, Mark? Pop on. Oh, there they are. All right.
It's
50-50. What's
tied.
Happening? 50%. Well, that is bizarre. Full on 50% each.
The audience is split in half on that. Weird.
And Greg has the great line here. Greg, one of our Smack Daddies, is in the group here saying, just like WWE booking,
50-50.
Well done, Greg. Well done. All right. So let's continue on here. Heyman is backstage at this point. He's on the phone talking about the draft. Kayla creeps up behind him, asks who's on the phone. He makes fun of her being jealous to talking to someone else. Talks about Lesnar for a bit. The Usos walk by. He takes off. The U.S. Championship is next. The triple threat. Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus versus Damian Priest. You know, Damian Priest, of course, going in as the champion this afternoon, we were quite critical. And I mean, I'm critical about putting Jeff Hardy into this match. You brought up the fact that, hey, he's Team Extreme. We're going back into nostalgia. And wow, the crowd bit it on that.
He
was the fan favorite, like full on, no question. The fans wanted Jeff Hardy to win this damn belt.
This was a really awesome insight into how some of the fans look at some of these guys. And someone like Hardy, obviously, and you know what? He was, like you said, he's been chasing the 24/7 championship like a month ago or whatever.
Yeah.
But man, you put him in this situation with the right crowd, and these people went nuts. They were solidly behind him the whole time. There were a whole bunch of times when he got a pin attempts where the crowd thought he was going to win. They totally bought on the near falls and stuff like this. Like if he had won this match, again, this place would have exploded. So it's really good insight. And it also shows you what a poor job they've done with guys like Sheamus and Damian Priest, because the crowd doesn't care about them in the slightest. They're rooting for the guy that was a big star 20 years ago.
Like, I'm actually,
that really says something about how they book guys.
I'm surprised that they didn't like Damian Priest more. I think that they've done an okay job with Damian Priest, but I do think that this feud has gone on far too long. And I think the thing is that Jeff Hardy is a little bit of new blood injected into this feud. So as weird as it is to say that Jeff Hardy is the new blood, but he's not these same two guys going at it over and over and over again. And I think since he was the refresher and he has the reputation of, the extreme guy,
right,
that's who the fans got behind tonight. This match was fine. I'm not into the storyline. I'm tired of it too, even though I do like Damian Priest, but I do think that there was an excellent exchange at the end of the match.
That's what I was just going to bring up. Did you really notice how they at least tried to take Hardy to put some of that on Damian Priest, right? They tried at the end to kind of transfer the shine.
I didn't mean that. I meant the exchange to end the actual match here, where you have a Priest ate a bro kick and then Hardy pushed Sheamus out of the ring and nearly stole the pin. And that's where the crowd went crazy at that point. Right. Turns out, as we were saying, it was a good move to put Hardy into the match. But yeah, so Priest retained here. He does a roll up for the win, though. Like, it's such a cheap win at this stage of the feud. And you know it's going to continue. Like, we saw Sheamus stand up the ramp and stare back down. Like, I'm done with this. I was done with this before this match even started, but I understand what you're saying about Hardy and Priest and the exchange there at the end of the match, and he was trying to transfer some likability over to Damian Priest.
Think of him as the new extreme guy or something, anything, right?
There's a promo here. Big E was in the dressing room. He accepts Lashley's challenge for tomorrow. And this is when we learn. He says 8 p.m. sharp. So this is when we learn that this will be opening up Raw tomorrow night. And
again, isn't that borrowing from AEW slightly, putting the biggest match of the show to open the show?
Yeah, but there will be no conclusion to that match, as we said. That is pretty much for sure. SmackDown Women's Championship is next. It's Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch. Once again, let me state, far better than expected. Yes. Now, we talked about how we both have the sentiment and feeling about this particular program that it is backwards. Becky Lynch should still be the babyface. She is playing a heel. Bianca Belair is the babyface and will be better suited to play the heel. I don't know if they've eclipsed that in my mind as of yet, but I thought that this was pretty solid. They did a good job of showcasing Bianca's power here.
Yes, yes.
Becky did a great... Becky took a page out of Bayley's book here. Did you notice this segment where Bianca tosses Becky to the outside and Cole is saying, Becky is saying, what have I got myself into? And Becky runs over and goes, Michael, I'm not saying that. Don't tell people I'm saying that. I have a plan, Michael. Those are the moments that... You know, Bayley was great at it. Kevin Owens is awesome at it. Those are the moments that I take pleasure in watching as a wrestling fan, because they're not scripted and you can tell that these people know each other so well and they're just messing with one another.
Well, absolutely. And you have to allow your performers that leeway. You can't script them so heavily. You have to allow them that in the heat of the moment, when something cool like that happens, they're allowed to respond to it, right? And I feel a lot of the time they're not. And I agree with you. I cracked up when she said that to Cole. Yeah. I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. And that's the stuff that helps define characters as well. The things that people remember. Right. So, yeah, they should never try to rein them in. They should let them do that kind of stuff because it always works. I thought it was hilarious.
I was really enjoying this match. And then I mean,
I hated the finish. I hated the finish.
I absolutely hated it. Okay. So the finish, when it started with the disarmer and then allowing Bianca to use her power to lift Becky in the air to go into the KOD, I'm like, this is great.
Yes,
this
it was, is until
exceptional. And then Sasha Banks comes back.
I hated it. Absolutely hated it. Well, you know how I feel about run-ins. I mean, let the match end. We were 2 seconds from letting the match end here. You could have easily done this after the match ended. But at the same time, I'm just like, you know, why? I don't know. It just took all the air out of the match for me. I was really enjoying it. And then she ran out and I'm just like, oh, I don't really care about this. And you've ruined what was a good match. And the crowd was enjoying it as well. They were chanting for both ladies in this match. They were doing the dueling, let's go Becky EST chant back and forth. And then the Sasha thing just comes out and I didn't like it.
And now you're going to have Becky as a heel, Sasha as a heel, and Bianca as a babyface, which I guess is the right dynamic for a three-way. I've really grown to not enjoy Sasha Banks. I think she's good in the ring, but I don't enjoy anything she does outside of the ring anymore, except The Mandalorian.
That's way outside the ring, that's for sure.
Yes, it is. You wouldn't know about it, though, if you just watched WWE, because they don't talk about it.
Yeah. I was just really enjoying the match, and I really wanted to see a solid finish and that, and I just... That type of finish where they just send somebody out because they don't want either one of them to take the pinfall. I hate that. And that's what they did here. And yeah, that's it. And, you know, they teased, I guess, they almost teased it like Sasha and Becky were working together, the way they kind of looked at each other there at the end and didn't really, you know, kind of just stayed away from each other. So I don't know, but
What are you talking about? Becky then tries to make friends with Sasha, but Sasha full-on attacked her. Where did you go? Did you leave the room?
I was probably gritting a beer at that point or something. But
yeah, no, Becky was trying to do the handshake, trying to make friends, and jumped on her and pummeled her.
Backstabber. Yeah, okay.
So
it's going to be a three-way, which, whatever.
And then we had all of these. You talk about things lasting a long time with Alexa. I found this pretty painful. Everyone sits in their corner as Sasha goes up the rank. We get close-ups on all of them. And then it cuts to Sasha. And she says, I'll see you on Friday night. Yes.
Again, pushing the TV. Pushing the TV from the pay-per-view.
It's the new trend. We have a question here. It looks like J-Dub in Dallas is asking me a question. Was Becky's outfit related to Seth Rollins' crazy suits that I love so much? I don't think so. You know, she was wearing all white tonight, even though she was the heel. It did, however, remind me of that Seth Rollins Power Ranger outfit at WrestleMania that one year, Mouth. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
That's what it reminded me of tonight.
I think with Becky lately, because they're trying to make her look heel, they're trying to make her dressed like ridiculous most of the time. Most of her outfits look ridiculous now.
I didn't find her in-ring gear. I think that she's coming down to the ring channeling Conor McGregor
stuff with the hair and that and the shades and everything.
Yeah, the shades and then the big furry coats and such.
Right,
you know, I kind of found that was a bit of Conor McGregor channel there. All right, our main event of the night, the Universal Championship match. It's an Extreme Rules match on Extreme Rules. Roman Reigns is your champion versus the Demon. Gotta say, I'm not a fan of the 3D CG graphics that they do, but I thought for this entrance, it was probably their finest ever. I thought the Demon entrance looked fantastic. We'll get Mark Andrade's comments on it afterwards, who loves the special effects. This was great. Even the top, like the way that they had the roof and had the tentacles coming down out of the roof there. I thought everything came together so nicely. I mean, this is a good gimmick to see once in a while. I mean, probably not anymore after whatever the hell they did tonight. They really, really... Mouth emphasized the 391 days that Reigns has held this title. So they are definitely pushing that. It seems like it's something that's not going to end for a while. So was this the first time it was declared by Cole that Roman and Brock are going to have a match at Crown Jewel? There's no doubt about that. But will it be for the title?
Yes. Yeah.
So no matter what happened in this match, it's Roman and Brock. So Brock's coming back because he doesn't like Roman, as opposed to wanting the title? That's not Brock's MO.
No, his MO is the Saudis threw a whole bunch of money at him, and he's back. That's the MO. You know that.
For sure.
It doesn't have to make sense, Jay. They just want Brock in Saudi Arabia.
Within 5 minutes of starting this match, Roman pulls out the kendo stick from under the ring. And then I got to say, in the most awkward kendo stick spot ever, Finn Balor pulls out four kendo sticks that are taped together and has a real awkward time trying to use them.
Well, did you notice what they did? They stuck one of them out farther than the others that you were supposed to kind of use as a handle, I think. But I don't think it could handle the weight of the other kendo sticks. So he was trying to use it with that handle and it didn't work out. He should have just grabbed them as a whole and hit him with it. So I think that's what happened there. A little bit of a malfunction with the kendo sticks.
This would have been a much better exchange if they both had one kendo stick and just wailed on one another.
Yes, absolutely. But I guess they're trying to see, you know, oh, the Demon's clever. He's got four kendo sticks.
So what did you think about this spot? And I'm sure this is going to be one of the hot talks of the pay-per-view along with this dumb finish, but Roman puts on a COVID mask before chasing Finn into the crowd. What was your take on this? Because my thought is if you have to do it, because yes, he's immunocompromised due to, I'm sure he's double vaxxed, but due to the chemo treatments, he's immunocompromised. If you have to put the mask on, don't go into the crowd. They could have fought up the ramp. They could have fought around the back. Don't go into the crowd.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they would do it that way. Exactly. Just stay out of the, I mean, it's extreme rules, so I guess they felt they had to go into the crowd. But you're right. There are other areas. They could have fought to the back. They could have fought. There could have been lots of other stuff they could have been done. I thought it was really weird. And it takes you out of the match completely because we're watching this stuff to get a break from reality. And you don't really want to see somebody putting on a mask in the middle of a match. Kind of takes you right out of the whole thing. So, yeah, I just thought it was weird. Why couldn't you give Roman some sort of weird facial headgear that he wears maybe or something? And you could get around that kind of stuff.
I'm sorry, but that is the gimmick of one Karrion Kross now,
that's
Mouth.
True.
Not
true.
Allowed to do that with Roman. He's currently in that Lord Humongous world.
Yes.
He is. He's Lord Humongous in Memphis is what he is.
Yep.
So this match, again, I thought this was going quite well after that weird thing that happened in the crowd. The Demon hits the coup de grace. The Usos come out to pull him out of the ring. He's a babyface, so he has no other demon friends. He disposes of them both. The Demon gets a spear through the barricade by Reigns. And I'm like, you know what? They're doing a really good job here.
Yep. Well, exactly. Because, the Demon, up until this point, the Demon looked fantastic in the entire match, right?
And then what the hell happened at this point? The music hits.
The red lights go on.
The heartbeat
dry ice
happens. He starts to...
He flexes like he's getting the cardiac shot there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what
it comes back to
of.
Life.
That's what it was the weirdest thing. They have never, ever done this before with him, right?
Because
I was trying to remember, did I miss something where they did this once before? Because this was absolutely ridiculous. Red lights, the dry ice, the heartbeat. And then, him reacting like he's getting a shock in the chest was just ridiculous. And Cole, they're trying their hardest to sell this ridiculousness here, that he's coming back to life. He's bringing him back to life. But that's how it worked. He goes after Reigns with the chair. They literally said he was back from the dead.
Yeah.
The commentators literally said he was back from the dead.
Also, who started playing the music with the heartbeat? Who was responsible for that in the back?
What's his name?
Dexter Loomis?
Yeah, Dexter.
No, he's on lights, Mouth. He's not on sound. You got to have someone else. This sucks. This left me with such a bad taste in my mouth.
Absolutely.
At the end of what was a much better pay-per-view than expected.
Crowd match. Crowd was into it. It was a hot match. They were making the Demon look really good. They weren't burying him. He was looking like a good rival. The crowd chanted "Holy shit!" at one point. Actually, I think right before the red light came on, they were freaking out.
For the spear.
Right. And so then they just totally wrecked it with that. And then as if that, though, wasn't bad enough, though, once they get back into the ring, though, and they do that crazy stuff on where Finn's on top of the rope, they're ready to do the big dive onto Roman. And then all of a sudden, and did you notice the minute that the ropes broke, the lights went on?
Oh, yeah, Mouth. the lights went on. The music turned off.
I died laughing.
It was, you know what it was? It was a classic record scratch comedy moment.
Right.
Where, like, you're a fictional character and you think you're the shit, and all of a sudden, You're not, and there's a giant reveal.
Yeah, you hear
the scratch. What this was.
Yeah, it was not good. I mean, the only thing I can think of, I sure hope it wasn't done just to be a rib on Arn Anderson. That's pretty petty. And
I don't think so.
You're going to destroy a whole match on just that. I'm wondering if this is going to come back that Heyman somehow rigged this, cut the ropes, did something. I kept waiting for reveal. I kept waiting for that sly shot of Heyman with a big grin and a big pair of bolt cutters or something in his hands to show that he's doing his best to keep his man protected here. But they didn't. They gave us nothing. They literally gave us nothing. They did not explain it in any way, but it was enough. Obviously, it throws off the demon. Reigns gets the spear and he wins. Totally convoluted. And to what you said this afternoon, no Brock Lesnar. I guess you didn't need it because we know that match is already set up. But this was really weird that they didn't give us, like, they didn't even tease something happening here. Like, couldn't you have teased that maybe Heyman did this or something to kind of, instead of just like, they just completely went with it. Like, oh, the rings fell apart. Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
But even if they fall apart, like, this guy is someone who's just been brought back from the dead and he falls off the top rope and that ends all of his supernatural powers. Like, this was
just a quick booster
this
shot.
This is a
Jay.
Gilbert thing. Like, this is so, this is an Ellsworth thing. Like, this is so bad. Just destroys this gimmick.
Yep. And also the fact that they didn't try to acknowledge any kind of reason for it happening. Like, the announcers did not ever once try to figure out anything, you know, even to something as silly as, oh, I guess there was a weak rope or there's a weak turnbuckle pad or a weak whatever. Like, to me, that was the part that really ruined it, is that they didn't even try to justify it in any kind of way here. It's like, come on. It was so horrible.
Well, apparently Drew Gulak tried to justify it. Greg is posted up here saying, and the more Drew Gulak tweeted, and the moral of the story is, if you're about to win your match, do not climb to the top rope. Thank you for coming to my PowerPoint presentation. Along with that, Jason's asked here, Jason Christmas is in here asking, can you explain the Arn Anderson thing? Arn Anderson looked to accidentally slip off the apron on...
They were setting up the spot on Dynamite. Yeah. They were setting up the spot on Dynamite with Malakai Black and Cody, where it was going to be Malakai Black pushing Cody into Arn and knocking Arn off the apron. And Arn was getting up there, and unfortunately, he slipped and fell. So they had to kind of rework it, and Cody got out of the ring, and they kind of got in each other's faces. And then Arn jumped up there again so they could do the actual spot. So that's what happened there.
Tommy says, even Ric Flair has failed from the top rope before. Yeah, well, that was part of Ric's matches. That was his gimmick.
And the ropes didn't collapse. Ric Flair would just get thrown out, get slammed. The ring ropes did not collapse. Like, this, it was just really ridiculous. Again, that was the thing in this show, that the matches themselves were strong and the guys worked hard, and then they got these dumbass finishes thrown on, like the Sasha thing with Bianca and Becky, and this one. And it's just like, man, these people worked hard. I was actually enjoying a lot of the show except for these dumb finishes.
Yeah, I didn't even like the roll up in the Damian Priest match either.
Right.
All right, so here is what we've gotten into. That's our review of the show tonight. If you'd like to ask a question, make a comment. It can be about this show. It can really be about anything from the week in wrestling or wrestling in general. Click raise your hand in the Zoom room there and do that. If you want to throw up a question text-wise, you can also do that in the chat. I've got the chat open here, as you can tell, because I've been referencing it. And you can just type in your answer or type in your question and we will try to answer it. So we're monitoring that. While that all gets set up, Mark Andrada, of course, the biggest question on everyone's mind is, you know, this lean in to the Lily gimmick that I'm guessing that was your match of the night tonight with Alexa Bliss and Charlotte.
I mean, do you want me to make a joke? Yes. If I'm making a joke, then yes, that's my match of the night. But I thought the Becky Bianca Belair match was my match of the night until the end.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Such a shame. Like, it was just, and the crowd was, you know, I think reflected that, you know, like everybody was into this. And Sasha's return to me felt flat, and I think the audience reaction was flat.
Well, it was. You noticed that they were into the whole match, and then when she came out, they just kind of cooled right off. Like, yeah. They didn't freak out or boo or anything. They just kind of, oh, what's this, you know?
Just took the air out of it. It was a shame.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't see that program being great, because again, I still think people are conflicted with the Becky character and not totally buying into her as a heel. And I guess they're buying into Sasha as a heel at this point, because they never did get the climax of that feud between Sasha and Bianca. But I didn't even think that that was a great build when they were doing those two, because they both felt like heels. When they're in the ring together, when they're doing promos together, those two in particular, the way they play off one another, they both play heels. And I'm now worried, with Sasha being injected into this, yeah, Becky playing an over-the-top heel, they're going to all try to out-heel one another, and no one is going to be likable.
Yeah, yeah, that could very well be an issue there. Yeah, not good, not good.
And anything else, Mark, takeaways from tonight from your end, aside from the really great lights and sound finish that we got in the main?
Unreal. That was appalling. I'm really looking forward to what happens with Lily going forward. I'm not sure, you know, like I said, I'm really don't know if she's done or if they're going to double down. And I'm excited to see Monday Night Raw tomorrow to find out. Of course, it's WWE, so we probably won't find out for 3 weeks. We won't see Alexa or Lily for 3 weeks.
Maybe. I would love to. We don't see Alexa and she comes back and she's just playing old Alexa Bliss again.
How about this? Lily has now passed on. You know who else has passed on? Elias. The reincarnation of Lily is embodied in Elias returning.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it would be, that's awful.
Yeah. So it could happen.
It's
very possible.
Yeah. Right?
Brutal.
All right, let's go to people who do have their hands up. And if you got a question, comment, etc., go for it. Mark, who shall we go to first?
Got Greg. Greg is up first. Greg.
One of our East Coast dads here. Greg, we have heard from you a couple times tonight in the chat. So what do you got as far as your question or comment?
First of all, I've got to say, first-time Zoomer or caller, long-time listener, because I've actually never called in to the show when it was live on the air.
Wow. Okay.
In all the years. Yeah, I know. guys, I just wanted to say, you know, I enjoyed most of the show tonight. I kind of laughed because I saw some, you know, the dry ice effect start early in that match when it shouldn't have. But the ending of that just drove me insane. You know, you had mentioned, right, we've got Brock Lesnar setting up for the pay-per-view coming up in Saudi. This would have been the opportunity. Like, if you're going to kill this demon gimmick, which I don't think you should have, but if you're going to kill the demon gimmick, kill it for a reason and not because, you know, a rope broke. I don't know.
Yeah, it should be a little bit more of a substantial reason than the ropes broke. Yeah.
So, anyhow, that was it for me tonight, guys. Just wanted to say, you know, keep up the good work, and we will talk to you guys, you know, soon, and see you guys at the next SmackDown event or SmackDown Friday podcast, and we'll be covering Crown Jewel and see, maybe they'll have the ring collapse over in Saudi. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what they do there. Yeah, so that is what's going to happen. I mentioned on the show a couple times already that it'll be Greg and Brad that are going to be doing the Crown Jewel podcast. We mentioned it this afternoon as well, so there's no pay-per-view as far as a traditional Sunday in October. We're going to double down with two after parties in November, though, because we've got the AEW show for Full Gear, it is. I made the mistake calling it all out this afternoon. But Full Gear as well as Survivor Series for November. So double down on after parties in November, but none in October, because I'm not doing them for Crown Jewel because a bunch of us are going to be at work. It's at Thursday.
1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday. Yeah.
Can't do that. All right. Two, we have another hand up, I believe. Mark Andrada, where shall we head to next?
We're heading over to J-Dub. J-Dub, feel free to unmute.
Go for it, J-Dub. What do you got for us tonight? Question, hey, comment, Jason. Feel free. Hello.
Hey, Jason. This is your good buddy James Weaver in Dallas, not in Atlanta.
Okay, yes. One of the two James Weavers that we have on as our patrons. That was a nutty day. Go for it, man.
Yeah, appreciate that again. Thank you for the huge shout-out and everything. Just watching it at the what did you think of Charlotte's kind of like pulling the doll's hair and walking out and everything, going like, I'm the you know what, and nobody's going to beat me? I thought she kind of like made a statement over Alexa. Forget the Alexa after the event with the Alka-Seltzer and everything. Charlotte kind of made a statement that said, I'm the badass bitch. You're going to do it or not, you know? So just cheers again. Thanks for everything. Thanks for all you guys do.
Thank you, James. I mean, what do you think of where I think that this feud is continuing? I don't think there's any doubt about that, Mouth.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's still going to carry on. And it looks like, I mean, again, we had that tease of her breaking from reality, but the way she reacted tonight with the breakdown after Lily gets all ripped up, to me, this seems to be the same goofy Alexa character in the playground. And you know what? Maybe the merch department wants to put out a new doll. So they've said to her, okay, we're going to rip this one up and we'll debut the new Lily doll on Raw tomorrow or whatever.
Well, that would be great news because Mark keeps checking that every week because he still wants to litter my porch with Lily dolls. And so far, the price has not come down. So there you go.
Well, now maybe that the original's been ripped off, they'll do a fire sale and sell them.
I think she's coming back.
Mark, get ready.
Yeah, you know what has... Oh, boy. You know what has happened?
I'm hoping that doll goes on sale. Oh, boy.
Oh, geez. You know what has moved over from not only the male booking, but to the female booking as well, is an inability to, they're keeping it equal, an inability to book a baby face on either side.
Yeah, well, that's it. It doesn't matter. If you're a baby face, you're an idiot.
Like, who is over right now as far as female baby faces go? Maybe Bianca. They destroyed
Nikki Ash.
Nikki Ash is not over. No question, yeah, exactly. She is not over.
Yeah,
I mean, Alexa sort of is. She is more so when she's not playing this dumb character.
Yeah.
But who's likable? And writing here, Tommy Lang is writing, where's Asuka? By the way, happy birthday to Asuka today, turning 40 years old. So according to Vince McMahon, she probably needs to have retired 10 years ago.
Yeah, he's working her off the card now. Yeah, brutal.
Like, are the next big stars supposed to be Shotzi and Tegan Knox on the tank? Because that happened on SmackDown again.
Yeah, it's tough. The one that bothers me, and we talked about it this afternoon, is the Rhea Ripley one.
Yeah.
Because the pairing with Nikki is just such a waste. I don't want Rhea as a babyface, and I certainly don't want her teamed with somebody else. I mean, she's such a great, strong performer on her own. And you can tell she's having trouble being a babyface. Like, just... There was some stuff with
I think she's having trouble with the scripting, though, Mouth, because I think she was, we talked about this, I think she was a cool baby face.
Well, I guess the pairing with Nikki, you can tell she just, to me, she looks uncomfortable when she's out there with Nikki.
And I don't think the Connor's Cure thing really did her any favors on Monday, even though she got emotional with it. It just doesn't really work for who she is, like,
again,
on camera in that character.
Again, maybe if she was by herself and not paired with Nikki, you could maybe get away with that. But the thing is, you see her as a badass. You don't expect her to be crying.
Yeah. We got Matthew Smith, apparently, that is going to be joining us.
Of course we do.
Matthew Smith coming fresh off a loss today in Turnbuckle Trivia. But nonetheless, he is joining us tonight. Matthew, what do you got for us tonight?
Oh, today's loss was just embarrassing. I can't believe that. But I'll join up again. I'll make sure I renew my Patreon subscription and maybe I'll win a t-shirt eventually. But I watched tonight with the lady friend, and her reaction was pretty much indifference. The show was on. She watched it with me and she was like, it's over. But I didn't think it was as bad as, or it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. The matches themselves were pretty good. The ending to some of the matches, like the women's match and the main event, the endings were bad, but the matches themselves leading up to it weren't that bad.
So, I agree.
You know, it's kind of, I mean, I'm going to forget everything by tomorrow. Like, it's already kind of leaving my brain, but it was better. It was better than the low expectations I had set for it.
Yeah, I think that Jay and I feel that same way as well. We had no expectations going into this match. But at the same time, it's also very frustrating to see a great match get ruined by a shit ending. Like that, like I
that was
that.
The theme for tonight over and over again, right?
It was, exactly. It should have been called Extreme Shit.
I thought it was Extreme Rules for tonight, but nothing was very extreme except the main event.
You know what, though? But you know what? in defense of that, or the other side of that, I'm actually happy. I find myself much more ready to handle the extreme elements of the main event because I had not been hit over the head in every single match leading up to that with the same stuff. I mentioned earlier in the week that I thought it was weird that they didn't have any stips in place, but you know what? I actually thought it really worked to just have one match with the stips, and then that match comes across as meaning something rather than being just another match when you've watched a table match, a chair match, a ladder match.
Yeah, that's true. It was a little more impactful just having the main event as the Extreme Rules. But, you know, overall, it wasn't a bad addition of Sunday Night Raw because it just sets everything up. It sets everything up for tomorrow, next week, and the next pay-per-view. It didn't feel like a pay-per-view. It just felt like, you know, a Raw or a SmackDown.
I would agree with that. In some ways, it was just like an episode of Raw.
Yeah,
pretty much. All right. Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate it. Thanks for staying up late.
Thanks, Shane O'Mac.
There you go. That looks like it. We are done with the hands in the air. Correct, Mark? Just to confirm. I cut people off last time and I didn't. Oh, we have one more?
One more. Yeah, we got
someone popped up their hand. Okay, who do we got there? Tommy Lang wants to chat. All right, Tommy, you're going to be the last call tonight with a hand in the air. Mark's popping you up here onto the screen. And what do you have for us? Go right ahead.
First of all, I hope this is working. It's my first time doing this with you guys.
Yeah, man. We can hear you.
So just reading some of the Facebook chat over the last couple of weeks, it seems like we all kind of think that a lot of what WWE is doing is in response to AEW. And we have like Big E, for example, winning the championship, rushing Brock Lesnar and Becky back. Do you guys watch these products now, especially like tonight, and think, are they building to something different, like kind of Vince getting out of his comfort zone?
Tonight's show?
Well, maybe not tonight, but there are little things I see, slow builds where maybe they're changing things that maybe you're like, where is this going? Because that's kind of how I felt watching tonight in like the last week or so. I can't think of anything specific, but...
you're the one bringing up the point, Tommy.
I'm thinking more of like the Big E, giving the Big E the title run, and maybe with the draft, they'll change some stuff up. But you look for signs maybe that maybe storylines are moving in different directions than they'd maybe planned 2 weeks ago.
You know, the problem with the draft is we see people cross over so often that it's kind of meaningless.
Well, and as I pointed out too earlier in the chat, we've got Survivor Series, brand versus brand.
Exactly.
We've got Saudi Arabia. We've got a draft, and they're trying to push all three at the same time.
Yep.
And it's just confusing trying to figure out where they're going with this stuff.
Agreed. So I would have to, at present, decline your thought process of them trying something different. I think you may just have proved yourself wrong as you kept talking.
Yeah, I kind of talked myself through that one, didn't I? But I'm hoping because if you remember from WCW, when the NWO showed up, a lot of things changed, and that's how we got Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Sure.
That's where The Rock emerged. And I guess I'm just hoping we might see something like that in the next year.
Well, you know what you're seeing? You're seeing Braun Breaker.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't watch NXT now.
You know, NXT is no longer key viewing. And at one point, it was the show to view every week. And maybe it's just because it's not for people that are in this chat right now and people that are listening to this show, you know, that really did enjoy the NXT. Because if you enjoyed the NXT, you probably aren't going to enjoy the new NXT. And listen, when Braun Breaker, Rex Steiner. Rex Steiner. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? That's a good name.
Me too.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And you could play up the heritage there. You play up the pedigree, and they've just thrown it all away. And now, if I don't know who he is, Mouth, I've said this before, I look at him and I'm like, oh, they're doing that. They're doing the Mojo Rawley thing again.
He does look like him. I never thought of that, but you're absolutely right. He really does. Hey, man, why couldn't we let him keep the name? And hey, why can't his dad? Why maybe can't we see his dad involved? Or like, I don't know, just like even a vignette where he's talking to his dad or something, his dad wishing him luck, something. Like, I just don't understand when you have these guys that have this awesome pedigree. Like, I mean, think about the past, Jay, that when we were younger, Ricky Steamboat, his name was taken from Sam Steamboat. They weren't even related.
No, they were not. They weren't
even related. But hang on. But because Sam Steamboat had been such a star, putting that name with him helped immensely. Those two weren't even related.
What kills me is that Vince goes out of his way to say, we're not going to push these little guys on NXT anymore. And then you take a guy who was just NXT champ in Finn Balor and put him in the main event, and we're supposed to believe he's going to win.
Well, I mean, look at what they did to him, though, Tommy. I think that this was, he beat the Demon. Like, he made the Demon look like an absolute moron.
Yeah,
he destroyed that gimmick.
Top rope beat the Demon.
The top rope screwed the Demon. The Demon screwed the Demon, everyone. But going back to Steamboat, Ricky Steamboat's real name is Richard Blood. You remove the name of Blood to get the heritage. That's a cool name, is all I'm saying. It's a cool name.
Great name.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate it. Thank all of you for hanging out with us tonight. And of course, we got all of our regular shows this week. Mark and I will be doing the Mark and Jason in the Morning returns bright and early before 7 o'clock. We'll be recording on Tuesday morning. Mouth and Joe have got their couple shows this week. And of course, Boris and Matt have got their couple shows. And as we heard from Greg earlier, the East Coast Dads will be reviewing the draft version of SmackDown.
That's right, because it starts on SmackDown. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. So stay tuned for all of that. We continue to dish out, try to do a podcast a day. Oh, yeah. And for those of you, I've been up since 4 a.m. So you'll get some of the morning radio stuff. I'm going to pop up on the Patreon as well, where I talk far too much about the Blue Jays in my personal life on Toronto radio. So we'll throw that all up there, guys. Thank you all for tuning in. And we're going to be back for the next after party. Will be, I guess it'll be yourself and Joe. Mouth. One. Yeah.
The AEW one will be the first one. It's early in the month. And then, Survivor Series will be near the end of the month. So, AEW will be the next one.
So that's when we're back for it. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to show you guys this. I got a prototype of it. I don't know. And Mouth, you've seen them, but they came
opener?
In.
Is this the opener? Oh, cool.
For you guys who are, it's going to be at the Patreon level of the Turnbuckle Trivia and above. Every year for December, I take all of the Patreon funds and I put it back into a little gift for you guys that are at the Turnbuckle Trivia level and above. This year,
is
keychain bottle openers that are branded to Sunday night's main event. I'll be mailing them out to you guys at the beginning of December. Nice. So I just figured you can open your Great Lakes with this when you get the, not necessarily the cans, but they do have bottles too, and other beers as well. But they're great to put in your suitcase. When you go to a hotel room, you always have this when you go buy craft beer.
You must have a bottle opener on your presence at all times. I keep one in my knapsack at all times. But so that one's great. I love the design. I love the way the logo looks. Like, that's a real sharp looking bottle opener. And I know my sturdy bottle openers.
I know my bottle openers. Yes, he does, friends. Yes, he does. Anyhow, guys, that'll be coming at you in December. So stick around, hang out with us. Appreciate you all being patrons. And for those of you who didn't show up at the after party, you didn't get to see those. You people who are here, you got sneak peek tonight. But we're out of here tonight, guys. I got to get up super early. So does Mouth. I think he's going to work now. All right. Later, boys. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Take care, kiddies.